the Christmas tree during that time, all day long, I'm not sure. But it's, you know, we have, there's some things about Christmas we have to make some changes about, right? So I want to help you this morning. So, all right, I want to talk about four reasons why we need to rejoice at Christmas time, or four reasons that will help you rejoice. Let's go ahead, first of all, and read about the birth of Jesus. This is a good tradition to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 23. I'm reading the New Living Translation. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's super miraculous. Now, if your wife told you that today, that'd be a controversy. I mean, that's super. That's real miraculous. Think about it for a second, right? And especially if it's a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl, that's something else. Verse 19, Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, the angel of the Lord. Everybody say the angel of the Lord. Now, this is supernatural. An angel is no common creation. It's a supernatural being from heaven. Appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is God, right? He's the third person of the Trinity. That's supernatural. The power of God can come and change lives, even this moment right now. She'll have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet, who is prophet. Verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a wonderful story we read every year, or parts of different stories of the account of Jesus' birth. And I choose this story because we don't really read this one very often, but we read the other portions of it more often than that. And because of, you know, the fact that Joseph here was very much being inconvenient about this whole matter. And I'm sure he didn't want to do a lot of things. He must have had a lot of questions. Wouldn't you say? I mean, Joseph being human, and he didn't say, this didn't happen every day. An angel didn't come every day. People don't get impregnated by the Spirit of God on a regular basis. It's not something that happens every day. And, you know, something like this happens, it's a tremendous experience. God visiting people and changing lives. This changed the destiny of the whole world. This changed the destiny of to all eternity. This whole account that we see that Jesus was sent for us. Now I want to read you a text here from Psalm 118, verse 24. So the young man this morning says, this is the day that Jesus was born. Well, we're not sure if exactly the day. I don't think it was exactly the day, but we picked the day somehow. The whole world, the Christian world, picked the day, 25th. We're not sure why. Could be for many, many reasons. People, there's lots of controversy, and people have to, I don't know, they like to make controversy, I guess. This is not the exact day. Who cares? We know that Jesus was born, right? We know Jesus was born for sure. And so we don't have to have an accurate minute-by-minute account of when Jesus was born, but we know that he was born, it's recorded, and it's all there in the Bible. Praise God. Amen? So Psalm 118, verse 24, I'm reading the King James Version. It says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, you can say that right now. This is the day. Let's all say it together. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I didn't say anything about you feeling like rejoicing. This is the day Well, you can rejoice because this is the day. The Lord made it. He made it possible for you to be here, to be in this world, to be living, existing right now. You can be thankful for that, first of all. And it says, we will rejoice. That's something you're doing. You can't do that for someone else. Amen? You didn't phone anybody up this morning, did you? And say, hey, today is the Lord's birthday. I'd like you for to rejoice. Rejoice for me today. It's something we do ourselves. And we'll be glad in it. I mean, you don't think about that too much, really, when you think about it. We say these things as a cliche. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. But how many people are actually rejoicing? And how many people are actually glad they're here this morning? I mean, you know, you're almost forced to come. Like, I didn't want to come myself. Somebody was telling me this morning, you know, I had to come here, you know, family said you got to come and so on. But thank God for family, right? You wouldn't be here. Thank God for that. And some of you, we love you. Okay, so I want to say good morning to everybody, and I want to say a very Merry Christmas to everyone. Now, that's been all done. Let's get on with it. Well, this is Christmas, and there's been much anticipation for this particular day, not because Jesus was born, because there's gifts under the tree. When you get home, I hope the dogs don't get to it. But when you get home or somewhere during the day when everybody gets together, there's going to be some really great rejoicing. And there's going to be some sadness as well. You didn't get your socks again or whatever. So you need. So there's lots of anticipation of this arrival of Christmas time. So Christmas is a time when we get together with family and the people we love. Perhaps even some that we haven't seen for a long, long time. And then we make special efforts to do things, and we even make sacrifices. Has anybody made any sacrifices? So it's time, it's a special time when we have even special visits from people in our lives who love us. I'm sure many, many will gather around today their tables and eat a special meal. I'm not sure what you're eating, but I'm sure it's going to be wonderful. Maybe this is your kid's first birthday or first Christmas birthday or for Christmas time. Some of you, I was talking to someone this morning coming in, their birthday was a couple of days ago. My dad's birthday was just before midnight. And, just before the New Year's, New Year's, excuse me. And so this is a time when people celebrate different things. So we've all enjoyed, you know, we listened to hymns that we sang this morning. Wasn't that wonderful? And we enjoy those songs for years and years. They make us happy to think about the good old days, you know, when you're little. I was telling my wife about when I was a kid, you know, we'd go to church and, go to what we call the midnight mass. Anybody used to go to the midnight mass? Well, I used to go to midnight mass. And lots of times I didn't go, but I did go, and I didn't enjoy it that much, I remember. I was too sleepy. But I wanted to see people. I remember wanting to go there because I wanted to see people. I guess even back then I was a sort of a people person. So we enjoy Christmas songs, hymns that really bring good memories. Even non-Christian songs that we listen to that make us happy. For instance, this song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." How many of you remember that song? How many of you love that song? "It's the most wonderful time of the year." Remember that? I love that song. I hum that song, every once in a while to myself. And I enjoy that. I enjoy me singing that song. And so there's much things to be happy about, expecting around this time of the year. There's also a time when many people get disappointed and disillusioned because so much has been said, so much has been made around Christmas time that it's the most happiest time of the year and that any kind of bad thing shouldn't happen. But that's not true. We know that. Things do happen. You know, of course, Peter lost his father here the other morning, and he's gone. He's not celebrating this year. And sometimes, you know, I know what it's like to have a sick parent. My mom was sick for very long with cancer, and it was very hard seeing her go down week after week, month after month, suffering, really, really terrible suffering with that disease. And it pained us. It was taxing on us, and it was very difficult. And when she died, we were happy because her suffering was no more, and we knew where she was. It was a double-edged sword. I'm going to miss my mom. I'll see her again. I know that for sure. That takes this thing out of death and dying, because I'm going to see my mom again, praise God. Amen? So, because the Bible tells us about death and dying. And we don't have to, the Bible says, Paul says, we don't have to, be stricken with grief like the rest of the world, because we have faith that we'll see each other again. Like in our old native ways, we never say goodbye, we say see you later. And so we say, we have a saying. So Christmas isn't supposed to be a time of sadness and bad things, but things bad happens. Christmas time, you know, can have the opposite effects of what we are expecting. And so we need to make mental adjustments. So I thought I would just give you some mental adjustments. We'll give you four things about how to adjust yourself. The Bible says we will rejoice and be glad. We read a scripture. So that's something that you do. That's something that's on you that you have to make adjustments for. So the Bible says we can rejoice every morning because God's grace and faithfulness is with us again today. Here in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, the New Living Translation says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. And verse 23 says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Every single morning you get up, God's grace, God's mercy is there for you, waiting for you. That's something you can count on every single day. Not just once in a while. And I know, especially when you're having a hard time during Christmas, you know, I was catching the news and watching the news yesterday, and I saw hundreds, thousands of people across Canada stranded at airports. Some been there for two weeks almost, 1 week for sure. People can't get home. They can't go overseas. They can't get to parents. They made efforts to leave their jobs early, to get home, but they couldn't. They're not going to make it. We have people in this city. This one man told me yesterday, that they're stuck in the city because they couldn't go home yesterday because the roads are closed in Highway 17, 1117. So they're stuck right here in the city. And I don't think they're rejoicing like we think they would be rejoicing. They want to be with family. They want to be eating that ham and turkey. And now somebody else is going to eat it for them. Won't be fresh anymore. But there's different things going on. I mean, there's people, you think about the war that's going on over in Ukraine. They don't have hockey sticks there last few years. I remember talking about the Ukraine hockey team came over. They never had hockey sticks. So we're going to do, Pastor Ken is taking orders. They said, okay, hockey sticks over there. No, anyway, but there's terrible things happening. Terrible things happening. And, we can be grateful we don't have a war. So how many of you are praying for the country that we're not going to go to war? We need to pray. I mean, China could attack anytime from up north or Russia. You never know. I mean, they're talking about their spies up there. They're building igloos out there, hiding. And so there's things going on. We don't know. You don't know. People are spying on you, on your phone. You don't know what they're saying. Your phone is being tapped by the Chinese government. I'm making you think, right? But it's true. So anyway, his mercy begins every day. Blessed be the Lord, the Bible says, who daily loads us with benefits. The God of our salvation. Psalm 68, verse 19 in New King James says, God daily loads you with benefits. People say, well, I ain't getting mine. I don't have any benefits. I'm waiting for mine. Where do I sign up? Blessed be the Lord. Now, God says, his word says it, let every man be a liar. And let God be true, the Bible says. So let's read the TBT, the topical, our Passion Translation says, what a glorious God. He gives us salvation over and over, then daily carries our burdens. Right? God carries your burdens every day. But what are you doing carrying them? You're trying to carry them. Pastor Kid, are you carrying your burdens? Or your wife is? Your wife is, yeah. She's got both. Give them some. We give our wives some. You wonder why your wife's bent over, carrying too much heaviness. No, that's for the mailbag. No, you're not. Your wife's not bent over. She's straight as an arrow. But, God's done it. He loads us with benefits. He'll do it over and over and over again. The Bible says he'll do it again and again. You know, the devil likes to tell you, you'll never have one like this ever again. But you should say, I want to have a better one next time, right? Here's a good benefit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, New Living says, God has united us with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. I mean, through Christ, we learn everything about God and the benefits he's given us. Christ made us right with God. You know, that baby that was years ago in that manger, that's the one that made you right with God. He made you pure and holy and freed you from sin, the scripture says here. So right now, according to the word of God, you're holy. You're pure because of Jesus. That's a wonderful benefit, isn't it? We don't normally think about it, especially when you're mad and everything. You're mad at the world. So as a believer, we should rejoice every day. But many people who are Christian believers, read the Bible, they go to church, they don't seem to have even the strength to rejoice. They don't even know how to rejoice. You know, we live both in a spiritual world and a natural world. And we're so accustomed to live in the natural world that we don't ever think about the spiritual side of it so that we can learn to take the benefits of God. Right? So here's James says, TBT says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see to it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can have. Well, that doesn't sound too appetizing, right? Just to start rejoicing. You say, if something happened to you and you start rejoicing, somebody looking at you, you had, I mean, just to think about it, I mean, let's take, for instance, Peter. I mean, Peter lost his dad. I mean, that's a huge thing to lose your father just before Christmas. But he knows something the average person doesn't know, that his dad is in a better place. Now, if he's not grieving, like the rest of the world's people say, well, Peter, why aren't you crying? And like, you should be wailing and everything. And no, he might even be afraid to rejoice because people think he's nuts. Because you're happy because my mom and dad are with God. And that doesn't make sense to the average person. So we can rejoice in troubled times. This is what he's talking about, this guy here. So here, you know, we said we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, we have a choice this morning to be glad. You and I have a choice this morning to either be sad, mad, or glad. That's the choice you make. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord whenever you feel good. No, it says rejoice always. Not when you just feel good. It's easy to feel good. when you need to rejoice when you feeling good, but when things are bad, automatically we kick into another emotion, and it's not usually good. So we act on those rather than by faith. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We just read Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 23. He says, they are new every morning. That's God's mercy. New every morning. And great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness is great. You know, we don't think about that when we're having a hard time. We think all we're thinking about is the natural. So God's, his grace is new every morning, and his faithfulness is always there. He's very faithful. So some will only live by what their experiences dictate to them, while others will live by faith and enjoy much through God's grace. For we walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. Here's a good scripture that we look at, 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, so we do not look at the troubles we see now, rather, we fix our gaze. Now, that's something that you do. That's something I do. We fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. Now, let me ask you something. What can't you see? Well, it's probably the blessings or the promises that are supposed to be there or should be there or could be there. You can't see with your natural eye what God says that you have. Lots of times. So you have to look at what the Bible says. That's how you gaze into it. That's how you get happy, by looking at what the Bible says. We fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. What can't you see? Right now, I can't see my blessing, naturally. So we have to gaze on the things we cannot see. Those are the blessings of God. We have to say, well, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, so I'm going to rejoice in that, because God's faithfulness is new every morning. And he's going to be new tomorrow and the day after and 100 years and 1,000 years from now. He'll still be faithful, and his grace will always be there for me. Amen. Right? So we can do that. So, James 1 and 2, the CV says, my friends, be glad even if you have trouble. That's not an easy thing to do. God, why are you telling me to do all this stuff? You know? So life itself, without the devil, you think about it this way, it'll give you troubles, because we live in a natural world. We'll have trouble no matter what. Even if the devil wasn't there, this world is not a perfect place. Don't expect it to be. You know, so your expectations have something to do with it. So the devil will see to it also as that your faith will be tested. Isn't that true? He'll see to it that he'll test you. Whatever you believe in, he's going to test it to see whether or not you actually believe it. If you don't learn to rejoice, you'll remain at a level where this world and the devil will undermine the promises that God has given you. You'll stay at that level. The psalmist said, Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Do you think the Lord hears you? He does. And he saved him from all of his troubles, all of them. He'll do that over and 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 over. No matter what trial it is, he'll do it over and over and over again. He'll never stop. Isn't that wonderful? He's always wonderful. This is wonderful. Thank you, Lord. That's what wonderful, nice. But then you let that sink in you. Right? Let it sink in. That's when it's going to work. Because you could casually hear something in church and just let it drift away, let it get away from you. But in the moment of time when you really need it, they'll come out on you. I know when I have trouble, I'll tell you, I can tell you as honest as God is true. When I have trouble, even in my toughest moments, I have something coming out of me all the time, squeezing out of me. and God's word comes out of me, opposite from what I see. My mind will tell me, that's not true, but my spirit tells me, oh, hallelujah. Amen? It's good when your spirit is trained. Everybody say, I'm training my spirit. See, you don't have to listen to your mind all the time. Your mind is, will think on the world, right? So it says in verse 8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Once you taste God, once you start experiencing God through His Word and through experience, you're going to see that He's good. Blessed is the man that trusts Him. That's when you have faith in God, when you trust in God. I was reading Psalm 112, I believe it was, or 112. Can we put 112 up there? Psalm 112 and verse 1. And we'll read a few verses. Praise the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in His commandments. Let's find another one that will give us a everyday lingo. Be joyful, all those who fear the Lord, that delight in obeying His commandments. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Verse 2, 3. They themselves will be wealthy. Your good deeds will last forever. I think they made a mistake. I think it says healthy. No, I'm just kidding. The Bible says you're rich. People say, well, I'm broke. Well, let every man be a liar. Let God be true. Amen? You're rich because God says it. Right? He says, they themselves will be wealthy. Their good deeds will last forever. In fact, your good deeds, I was reading in Revelation, you take with you to heaven. That's the only thing you'll do. Anything good you do, you'll go to heaven. You'll get rewarded for it. You say, oh, all right. You did give that 20 cents to that guy. It'll be written there. That's a good deed. 20 cents is good. Last night, my wife and I we went around, we saw a guy who was just drunk. He couldn't walk. It was like this dark. It was cold. It was, I think, 11 o'clock at night last night, right? What are you doing at 11 o'clock? 10 o'clock? Anyway. So anyway, we were driving over there, and High Street and Red River Road, we were driving there, and we saw this guy just staggering around, can't even walk. A car came by, I looked at him, and just drove by, and there was a lot of snow. He's staggering, and he was staggering like this, staggered like that, and he'd fall this way, fall that way, and I said, I can't leave this man here. My conscience wouldn't allow it. So I followed him for a while. I said, maybe he just lives over here. So I watched him for a while, and we drove behind him. I was concerned, majorly concerned about him, because the people die. I know somebody here from this church, their dad, that happened to them. They died, froze to death, fell down. Because if you're drunk, you fall down, you think you're warm, you fall asleep. So anyway, I stopped by first. I asked him. He didn't respond to me. He kept walking. He could have been afraid of native people. He's a white man, too. I guess you all thought it was a native guy, eh? Staggering. Well, he's a white guy. Anyway, he walked down the street. And I drove again. And I watched him for a while. He's walking down the street. And I'm standing there and with my car. And Anita was there. And I said, I wonder where he's going. He kept walking and walking. So I said, I'm going to go see this guy. So I pulled up to him and said, hey, sir, where are you going? Do you need a ride? He looked at me. And he said, yeah, I'm going to Windermere. Oh, it's a long way, Windermere, staggering around. And there's the snow. So, he's staggering everywhere. And so so he got in the car, and the first thing he said to me, what was that? He said, are you guys Santa's helpers? I said, he was so happy. And he says, what's that native? He said something in, he was saying, then he says, miigwech, miigwech, miigwech. He kept saying that to me. I said, how do you know I'm native? My wife's talking to him. How does he know I'm native? And one time we met a blind man in church. And I was talking to him. He says, you must be native. He says to me, how do you know I'm native? Because he's going, No, anyway. So my wife was really touched by the whole situation. Not because the man was drunk and I picked him up, but she was impressed because I was a good, she said, you're a good man. Is that wonderful? I wasn't looking for to impress my wife, but I was genuinely concerned for another human being. But let me tell you something. That good deed is coming up in heaven. You'll see it if you make it. You hear the story about the little boy in church or in school? They're talking about somebody going to hell or whatever. Remember that story? And the guy says, the teacher says, what if the man doesn't make it to heaven? And the kid says, well, if he goes to hell, you can tell us about it. Something like that. Anyway, I didn't tell it right. But that was... anything you do is gonna show up in heaven. So start doing good, right? Good, your good follows you. You read that in the scripture. I read that yesterday from Revelation. Their good deeds follow you to heaven. You never see a hearse, they say, with a trailer behind. Right, Craig? A hearse doesn't carry a trailer behind. Yeah? Only you. In there. So, that's my first point. So let me give you four things. I'm going to be very quick. These four things I want to mention to help you remember during Christmas. This will help you to live above disappointment and prevent you from crashing. Number one, don't feel sorry for yourself this Christmas. Okay? That's a good one, isn't it? Just to come to church to hear that, that's wonderful. What did you learn? Don't feel sorry for myself. You go in a tree, under the tree, you didn't find what you wanted in there. Anyway, feeling sorry for yourself is a trap you can fall into because the illusion of Christmas time, it should be wonderful. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And everybody's waiting for all the wonderful things to happen, but nothing's coming yet. Right? So you feel sorry for yourself. We human beings are more likely to tell others about the negative things that's going on with our lives. It's human nature to focus on bad things rather than seeing the good in life. Someone said our brains are wired to automatically be turned to the negative. I was talking to a mental health professional. I have a friend who actually was working for almost 40 years counseling. And after his career ended, he went and he spiraled into depression. And he couldn't bring himself out of it. He said, we're wired. That's how people are wired. And finally, what helped him, he turned to Christ. Something back in 80, I was transferred to a town, out of the town, and I lived with this guy. I told him about Jesus, but he wouldn't really listen. But after 40 years, he started listening, planting the seed. He said, you know what happened? You know what helped me? Is the Lord helped me. And he's a professional helping people. And then he had to find out that there's another helper. He's called the Holy Ghost. So don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't tell people how bad things are. Some people say it's a psychological relief just to talk about something bad. We don't live by psychology. We live by the Word of God. Very often, You know, the world will take us in a different way, and it has a different point of view than what the Bible teaches us. So we need to be like Paul when he told the Philippians, I will rejoice always. Well, that doesn't seem fitting for this time of my life. I'm going to rejoice no matter what's happening, he says. Like I said, some people say, I don't have any strength for this. You do, you just don't know it. You're stronger than you think you are. You're stronger, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're strong in Christ. And you can rejoice whether you like it or not. So don't feel sorry for yourself. Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even right now when things are going, yeah. I'll rejoice at all times. That's different from talking about your problems, right? You can't afford to feel sorry for yourself for one second. And don't allow circumstances to dictate how you feel about life. You can say, you know what? I know that's bad, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord because God has better things for me. We can't allow the way we feel to lead us around in life. We can't walk by feelings. You go up and down, up and down, and up and down. He says, the psalmist says, Psalm 9, verse 2, King James says, I will be glad. Everybody say that, I will be glad. He says, and rejoice in thee, I will sing praise to thy name. So you need to start singing praise to God. Oh, he doesn't do it himself. Brother Hagin says, we all tell people to do what we don't do ourselves. When we give testimony meetings, we tell people what to do. So, don't struggle around. Let's not feel sorry for yourself. Practice the rejoicing. Number two, don't focus on things you can't control. Right? You can't control people. You can't control what's going on in the world, the weather. You like to think you're good. I'm going to pray. The weather's going to, just snow is going to disappear. The Bible says snow is going to always be here, Jesus said. Right? Winter and cold is going to always be here. As long as this world is here, it's going to be there. If you don't like it, move somewhere else. I had a friend. I woke up this morning with the wind howling at my window. And I was scared to look outside. In fact, one day I heard somebody rumbling outside. It was Pastor Steve cleaning my yard. He's a good boy. I said, you're a good boy, Charlie Ground. But anyway, the wind was just blowing and howling away. And Larry Salt, you know Larry Salt? That guy, if I catch him. He says, well, we're in Palm Springs. Looking at the weather in Northern Ontario in Canada. You know? So he's enjoying Palm Springs. I hope a palm thing falls on your head. Anyway, don't focus on the things you can't control. The Bible says, Galatians 5:23, that we need self-control. We need to exercise self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is controlling yourself, right? You can't control people. I mean, I tried it for a long time. Have you, Kelly, tried to control that man beside you? 240-pound man? Google Gaga. You can't train this guy. He's already trained. Okay. I love Nathan. Amen. He's my son in the faith. But he's hard-headed sometimes. Proverbs 19:11 says, sensible people control their temper. Now, if you don't get your gift, you're going to have to control yourself. Life would be so wonderful, so great, if we can control people. Right? If we can just control my wife. Listen, calm down. It's too late when you say calm down, right? Calm down. I said calm down. Even the dogs we can't control. They go crazy. Somebody comes at the, Cindy comes at the door, they go nuts. Right, Cindy? Comes at the door and they were trying to get at Cindy. And the other day, the man across the street, he's so wonderful. He brought us a plate of homemade cookies, which I can't eat. Well, I'm going to eat them anyway. And I'm making my confession now. All these wonderful things and card and some other things I won't mention, it's all there. And our dogs jumped on him. And he was talking to me about, you know, Christmas and everything. And then Sully runs after him. He follows him right to his home. Oh, man. Sully. He's gone home. He hadn't come back yet. Last thing. So here's what I say. Focus instead on changing yourself rather than other people, and look to God's word for the answers. So you can't control people. Don't focus on controlling everything around you. Focus on controlling yourself. You can control your attitude. You can control your feelings. You can control what you do, right? About things. You can change your attitude. Change that, right? Number three, dwelling on the past. Well, this year, needs to be better than last year. Didn't you know we went through a pandemic? My check is smaller than last year, and the gas is up. Right? We were just laughing at, you know, my father-in-law, when he was alive, we used to go visit him every time, and we'd just go there and visit him. He'd always have something nice to say, he'd just have a great laugh. He said, this Finn guy, he says, I mean, the people, they're always complaining about the gas prices. He said, this Finn guy says, I just always just buy the same thing. I just put $5 in my gas tank. Whether or not it goes up higher or down, he says, I just stay the same thing. We can limit our driving too, right? Right? Just don't drive around as much. Yeah. Pastor Ken, we went driving all around yesterday looking for those eggs. You might not be happy about things right now, but you can focus on your future. Don't focus on the past. As Psalm 43, 18 and 19, the common English says that, forget what happened long ago. Can you do that? Yes, you can, because God says you can. Don't think about the past. Well, I can't help it. Yes, you can help it. Right? So the reason why you feel bad, you keep thinking about the past. Right? Verse 19, Jesus or God saying, I'm creating something new. Everybody say something new. You could always say this to yourself when you're with your wife, something new is happening. You're not saying something out of Scripture. God's doing it. He's doing something new. I want to let you know God's doing something new for you right now. He's doing something new. His mercies are new every day. Right? He's doing something new. He says, there it is. Do you see it? He said, I've made roads in the desert, streams in thirsty lands. In other words, he's doing miraculous things. He's putting a pool of water in a desert for you. Right? And he's making a road in the wilderness for you. Through the snowbanks and everything else, he's making a road for you. So we can rejoice. That's talking about the supernatural. So think about that God's doing. Here's another scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, the common English says, I'll bless the Lord. He says, I'll bless you with a future filled with hope. You think there's hope for you? There is. Yes, there is. As future of success, not a suffering. There's going to be some good rejoicing after this. Philippians 3:13 says, my friends, I don't feel I have already arrived, neither do you and me, but I forget what is behind. One thing we can do, I know we're not perfect in our ways, our things we do every day, but this is one thing we can do. I can focus on What I can forget about the past, what's behind is behind. I can't control that. I can't help it anymore. It's done. I can control myself right now. I can control my temper. I can control myself from going down. I can control what I feel like right now. Yeah. The last but not least, say thank God. He says, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says, oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare to say we are wonderful as other men who tell us how important they are, but they're only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as a standard of measurement. How ignorant. Number four, stop comparing yourself with what other people have, what their relationships are. You cannot beat Facebook. You look much better on Facebook than you do in person. I can tell you those filters on my wife and I, oh, wonderful. Right? I can even look like a white guy. I mean, I can look like anything. Right? So you know, you could change yourself and you could put wonderful things on there. Hey, yes. We put our pictures on there. Yeah, I use some filter once in a while. He's lying. He does it all the time. I put a little bit of makeup on. It's all coming out now. No, so, you know, we put that on there to wish our family, our church family. I'm a public figure, so I have to put that on there. All my church family, we wish you all a Merry Christmas. And all our family, partners and friends, we get new partners and we tell them, we want to wish you, we want to let you know we pray for you. We do pray for you every day. Sometimes we don't, and when I do for, you know, like, because sometimes if something happens to you, you don't always get to pray right at that second. But I do pray regularly. And so we wish people well. And we don't neglect that part of our lives. Now, stop comparing yourself. That's a horrible thing to do. That's why people aren't happy. Well, I didn't get to go to Palm Springs. I didn't buy a truck. I saw somebody buy a truck, but they got to pay for it still, 25 years. I mean, you know, you think about it. We compare ourselves with people, they're having a great time. That's why I mentioned Facebook, because it's like everybody's enjoying themselves. They don't have no problem. But you know, it's reality, right? We all have problems. And everybody, you know, everybody seems like they're enjoying life except you. The devil tells you, look at you, ha ha ha. You're not as good as they are. They're in Palm Springs. You can tell I'm mad at Larry. He's jealous, eh? Yeah. Palm Springs. You can tell your friends that after. What did you hear at church? Palm Springs is what I heard. So some people like to compare themselves with other people. It seems like a pretty easy thing to do. We can't do that. It's not good. So the Bible says there, Psalm 8:7. Amplified, or excuse me, Job 8:7. Though your beginning was insignificant, yet your end will greatly increase. So God has some things planned for you. So you might have to start incrementally. Maybe you start small in something. Maybe you've got a business that starts small, and it's going to grow. How it grows is up to you, right? What you're going to do with it. Psalm 18:1. And then 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his faithfulness, faithful love endures forever. Verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, I want to close out with Psalm 34, chapter 1. I'll praise the Lord at all times. I'll constantly speak of his praises. I'll boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Verse 17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. Put that in your book somewhere. All your troubles. Not just some of them, all of them. All of them. No matter what it is today, he's going to rescue you, or he's already planned to rescue you. He's already made arrangements for you to be rescued. Even if it affects your children, affects somebody around you you love, he rescues you from all of them. Verse 18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Verse 19, the righteous person faces many troubles. How many will you face? Many troubles. But the Lord comes to rescue them each time. No matter how many times you have trouble, the Lord will come to you, put your faith in that. He said, I know I got this trouble, but he's going to rescue me again. I know you got trouble. I know you have challenges. We all do. Not one of us here is without challenge. We all have something we're working on right now. And we want to pray for Peter, his arrangements this week with his father passing. We want to pray for Peter and strengthen him and give him wisdom. We're going to plan, we're going to meet this week and plan the funeral. I know my cousin called me that we have a cousin who's been put into a hospital for palliative care. That's not good news for the family. I have a friend of mine in ministry, his mom died a couple of days ago. I can go on and on and tell you how many people I know that have troubles. No family who's lost their child to addictions and is dead. I had trouble for a long, long time. My mom passed away. I was okay. I mean, thank God. I knew about her life. My dad passed away. I knew about his life. He lived according to the scripture he knew. I had a brother who died. He died violently on the street under a drug addiction. I suffered greatly, mentally, emotionally, physically, because he died that way. I suffered hard. Took it personally. Wondered, did he make it heaven? Did he, Lord, I struggled with it. My sister again. Then she dies, and I find out from my brother, she could have committed suicide. She, the husband said she had a brain aneurysm. There's stories around it. Because she told me the week before, she said, I want to die. I don't want to live anymore. And that kind of put it together to me. So I was just wondering, I struggled about it. I struggled, Lord, you got to help me with this. Where did she go? Where did she end up? Did she lose her salvation? I mean, what happened? In my mind. So I struggled emotionally with it. And many, many other people that I know that I was close to me pass away that way. But you know what? The Lord will help you. I said, the Lord will help me. Say, the Lord will help me. Come on, stand up. Say, the Lord's helping me right now. A better day tomorrow. This Christmas, I'm rejoicing. I'm going to be glad. Not sad. Not mad. No matter what, I'm going to rejoice in my God. For he is good and his mercy endures forever. Father, we want to pray in the name of Jesus for all my friends that are watching, my family at home, friends at home, church members at home. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We bless all our friends across Canada, wherever you're watching. I'm asking God to bless you right now in the name of Jesus. No matter what your situation is, God will rescue you time and time again. Put your faith in the Lord. Don't compare yourself. Quit looking at the past. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Start rejoicing. Forget the past. It's gone. Hallelujah. It's a new day. God's doing a new thing. The Bible says he's doing a new thing. And he's doing it right now. He's already arranged. Whatever problem we got, he's already made arrangements for it to turn around. So start putting your faith in that. Instead of putting your faith in the negative, start doing that right now. So God is doing a new thing for me right now. And if you've been away from Jesus, God, you say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive my sin. I'm turning to you right now. I'm turning away from my own way, following you. You can do that right now. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you've never been born again, just call out, Jesus, save me. He will save you, wash you with his blood. He said, I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. We pray for every sick person at home, every person who's downtrodden, downcast. I pray the strength of God to come in you right now, to fill you with his strength and power in Jesus' name. We bless all here that are present. May the Lord bless you and enjoy a wonderful time with your family and friends. God bless every one of you. Praise God.